I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I hope we have an interesting show for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual, and we're going to be kind of going from the very, very practical to the really, really heavy and way out of the box stuff tonight, and we'll be getting around to debunking Hawking and his theory about no God behind the Big Bang, and also giving some other perspectives on that topic from Pleiadian and Andromedan and Esasani sources. However, before we get to all that, I'd like to give the following disclaimer, that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. And it is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And, of course, after having said that, I guess if you're a follower of ET Yoga, you probably know that in keeping with the philosophy of not going against the negative, but in creating a new positive direction, my suggestion with respect to medical concerns is to create yourself a new positive direction by distancing yourself from mainstream medical, inoculations, vaccines, and unless absolutely necessary in an emergency, basically distancing yourself from the medical system. And that's my idea of heading in a positive direction. Now, interesting that last ET Yoga show, we talked about taking responsibility and taking 100% responsibility for your outer experience with respect to how it related to manifestation. And I'd like to give a bit of a review of that information as well as connect it this evening to the idea of taking responsibility for another reason, and that is to assist you in letting go of the past. Now, this whole idea of taking 100% responsibility for the outer experience comes from the premise that your outer experience is created from your own thoughts, beliefs, definitions, intentions, and emotions, and that the outer world is a perfect reflection of that. And as stated before, some people like to think of this as thought creates. Others think of it as belief creates. And a new kind of a twist on that is that you can't have an outer experience that you're not the frequency of. So whichever one of those concepts makes the most sense to you would be the one that obviously is most applicable to this whole discussion. Now, with respect to taking 100% responsibility, again, taking responsibility means you have a responsibility, not that you are the blame. And I think this is very important because these concepts or words like blaming others and criticizing others or just plain complaining about your situation are all emotional signs that you're in a state of victimhood. And in actual point of fact, this whole idea of taking responsibility is not to point the finger, it's to actually create a point of power. Because as we know, in the general population at large, there's sort of a belief by some people that actually everything that happens is happening at random. And there's no connection between your beliefs and your outer circumstances. Similarly, there's those people that believe that when they die, they go in the ground and that's it. Like there's no afterlife. So, you know, all beliefs are equally valid. And it's not my intention to try to convince anybody to believe in a certain way. But the fact of the matter is that the world or the universe does act according to certain rules and laws. And one of those is the law of attraction, that what you put out is what you get back. And it's even a law of physics. And that includes your thoughts. And it also includes your beliefs and the consequences of your beliefs. So one of the things that Bashar has mentioned, and for those not familiar with Bashar, Bashar is Esasani. He's channeled through Daryl Anka. And some of his information clearly points out that there's kind of a formula for this whole area of putting out and what you get back. And it relates to throwing positive spin on outer circumstances. And by putting a positive emotional spin on outer circumstances, you can create a positive experience. And by throwing a negative emotional spin on outer circumstances, you get a negative experience. And this all, again, relates to the concept that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meanings. We place meanings on the outer circumstance and definitions which create the emotions that we feel. And responsibility is all tied into this because, in point of fact, if things are happening at random, then I guess you could have some justification in blaming the universe or blaming bad luck for the things that happen to you. But if you're the one who's creating it all, then in point of fact, that's your point of power, because if you created it, you have the power to change those things that you don't prefer. So what your outer reflection is basically there for, it's not there to punish you. It's basically there to show you what you do believe. And if you do find things that you're not happy with or that you're experiencing, then it's a good idea to trace those beliefs. And if everyone does their job in this, you'll notice that we've all downloaded some beliefs from the time we were young children that no longer serve us. And it's our responsibility, in a sense, to sort that out so that we can just thank our original caregivers for all the good ideas and the good beliefs they gave us and move ahead from those that no longer serve us. And responsibility here being very key, because if you are the one who is taking responsibility for creating your outer experience, then obviously that's your point of power. Now, how does this tie in with letting go of the past? Well, it ties in with letting go of the past because so many people get caught up in this concept of some incident that's happened in their past. whether it be an incident that happened to you during school or childhood or whatever the situation might be. And unfortunately, from what I've noticed in my life experience and listening to others, that so many people just can't seem to let go and constantly reliving things that happened 20, 30, 40 years in the past. And it really is causing them problems. And this whole idea is, if you really get it, that you're the creator of your outer experience, there is really nobody to blame. And it's a real eye-opener when you realize that, ironically, that which we most complain about, we're the creators of. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody in the past hasn't done something to you. It doesn't mean that it's a total waste of time to look over your so-called past history and find things to learn from or make adjustments to or about. That's all very valid reasoning. But this constant blaming, constant developing of anger, constant creating yourself as a victim, it's just not healthy. And I would say that I guess the point of death would be the proof of it all, is if we look back on our life after death and someone showed you that you were the one that actually created your outer experience and there was really nobody else to blame, then I guess that would give you that perspective. But don't you think it would be an even much better idea to learn that while you're still living? And not only that, but one of the things I find is, especially with respect to relationships, that there's so many people that have gone through kind of bitter divorces and usually have these derogatory comments about their exes, etc. And I know that doesn't, apply to everyone, but many people, they spend a lot of time, I guess, because of the breakdown in the marriage, that they feel some guilt or that it wasn't successful. There needs to be someone to blame or be the fall guy. Bottom line is that we're a frequency match for our partners at whatever time we were with them. And at the point at which we move on or they moved on, that's a natural course of events. And to blame, again, creates you as a victim. And what I've also found is, especially with people who are looking to create new relationships, that I think it's a barrier to them finding new relationships that are in harmony with their preference. For example, I've caught a TV show years and years ago, an Oprah show, and they had a lot of people on the show that basically just spent all their time, complaining about their past relationships. I think the idea is to heal from your past relationships, which then places you in a more positive position to attract yourself to a new situation. In fact, a good formula for putting yourself into that frequency is to love yourself, love the earth, and let go of the past. And again, trying to find out what it was that you needed to learn so that you can create a new positive. And for example, if you continually find that there's a pattern of attracting similar type of people into your life, then it's probably because you have some beliefs that need readjusting. And again, a good learning opportunity. So one of the things that this whole idea about taking 100% responsibility. It not only is a point of power in terms of creating new beliefs and creating new situations, but it's also a real key in terms of helping us let go of the past. And it's almost like dumping off a whole load of excess luggage, because once you realize that you're a co-creator of your existence, and ironically, that which we complain most about, we're the creators of, once you realize that, then it frees you up from all that baggage. And it's also a factor in the ascension process. I know Dolores Cannon had mentioned that letting go of the past is a really key concept in terms of ascension, as well as taking responsibility for your outer experience. So good words of advice from Dolores. And also, a nice way to kind of look back and rethink about certain issues that have come up in childhood, or even in our young adult lives, to learn to have a positive perspective about all those situations. I wanted to take an opportunity to make that connection between responsibility, not only as a manifesting tool, but as a way of freeing people up from letting go of the past. Should also mention that I really like one of Bashar's comments, that he says that you don't have a belief that you don't prefer. And according to Bashar, we don't for one second believe something that we don't prefer. That human motivation always leads us to choose what we perceive as more pleasurable and moves us away from what we perceive as less pleasurable. And even if this isn't objectively true, so for example, in the case of someone who's quitting smoking, there has to be some payoff for not quitting that is stronger than the belief to change. And it may even be that they fear, let's say, being irritable or possibly gaining weight if they quit smoking. So fear of the unknown in favor of the status quo is preferable. And I may also note that by giving meaning to a belief, you are attracting it into your life. Thus, it's important to become aware of our beliefs and reprogram those that don't serve us, or that are, it's just not our stated preference. And I think it's also really important. I remember a few years back, I was on a radio show, and people were getting really very negative about the year 2012. And my question was, well, why do people prefer to have such a negative belief? And when you start doing your homework, you try to give a reason for that. So did they fear, was it because of fear of the unknown? Or was it because of some past incident that's happened to them that made them have this negativity? Because to my way of thinking, there really isn't any positive benefit to negative thinking. In other words, when you're having negative thoughts, you're basically attracting that into your experience. And so why wouldn't you want to attract yourself to a more positive experience? So again, this whole concept about going back and looking at your motivations and being honest with yourself about why you would have a real negative take on an outer circumstance. The whole idea being to put positive spin on outer circumstances. So again, relating to this whole concept around how important our beliefs are and how important it is to get a handle on negative beliefs and why you believe them and where they came from. And I know the Andromedans actually have talked at length about it's very important for us to try to get a handle on why we believe some of the things we believe. You know, did we learn it from a teacher or a parent or down the street? Like, where did we learn or pick up certain beliefs? And it's quite an eye opener if you think about some of the concepts that humanity has been taught over the centuries to believe in certain things and certain either philosophies or concepts that really don't make much sense, but they've just been sort of handed down. So an Andromedan clue here is to get a handle on where it is you learned your beliefs and why does that make them true. And I guess one of the biggest things that they need to learn in this new age is learning to have discernment and having a nose for the truth and having things resonate with us as true before we just accept them, especially from others who may benefit from being in positions of power and then consequently also being in positions to abuse that power. So again, kind of an eye-opener about this whole concept of beliefs and where they come from. Now, moving on to the concept of Stephen Hawking's concept about no God behind the Big Bang, I had a few people write in and ask me for my opinions about that. And also, I did a little bit of research, and science has really come a long way. Actually, in the last month or so, it's called Bicep 2's primordial B-mode signal. And that's kind of a mouthful, but it's the newest scientific discovery with respect to the Big Bang. And apparently, it's a... they've managed to actually come within, they say, a trillionth of a second after the Big Bang and actually have a signal from that. And that's pretty amazing stuff. So that's the latest from a strictly scientific perspective. But recently, we have seen the mainstream media basically support Hawking's, in my point of view, false assumption that there's no God behind the Big Bang, and also concurrently putting out fear concerning the eventual contact with extraterrestrial life. And as I stated, I've been asked by several listeners for my take on this. Well, first of all, in India, there is a stage of spiritual development when the seeker experiences the higher levels of consciousness or oneness with the energy of creation or prime creator or God or whatever label one desires to define the infinite. And Swami Satchitananda has said, as many minds, as many gods. And the finite can never define the infinite, but it can be experienced. And I had that experience in 1969, and I also kept notes on the experience. And I'm going to share those tonight on the show. And some of my notes are as follows, and I quote, "First, there is a God. God has no name, nor form, nor shape, yet all shapes. God exists beyond time and space, and yet in it. God has no beginning and no end. It just is. It is eternal life and infinite love. Time and space exist in the mind of man. No man can understand the infinite with a finite mind. The infinite can never become finite. But when the mind is completely still, man's mind can merge and experience self-realization. A man's mind can only relate this experience according to his own capacity. For example, if you take a cup to the ocean, it will take the shape of the cup. Similarly, if you take a mind to the infinite, it will take the shape of the mind. Actually, there is only one God, but it takes the shape of each individual mind. For my mind, it's like we are all thoughts in the mind of God. It's impossible to describe exactly what it is like. Ram Dass would say that what we would most like to talk about, there aren't any words for. It can only be experienced. Reincarnation and karma are fact. What we carry over from lifetime to lifetime is our level of consciousness and our karma, which is the good and negative attachments we have accumulated. As you sow, so shall you reap is exactly true. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This is a scientific fact. It is also a fact with our thoughts and actions. The universe has three phases, active, passive, and neutral. In the beginning, there is a void, or neutral state. This energy becomes activated by an internal polarization, causing creation, the sound humming. In this active state, there is no exact description, as again it takes the shape of the mind. To me, it is similar to God wanting to know himself. Then there is the knowing, then just being. And from God's standpoint, creation and its devolution are in a twinkling of an eye. From the highest levels, it's all illusion, and higher yet, it just is. The energy was never created, nor can it end. Similar to doing something during the day, sitting and being aware, and then going to sleep. Rising with I am. The thought I is the first to appear and the last to disappear. The mind is like a woven cloth. When you pull out all the threads, there's nothing there. Yet the real you still is. Like a big eye and a little eye. When the little eye shuts up, the big eye kicks in. It's very difficult to explain, but you don't lose your individuality. When your thoughts stop, you don't fall through your mind into a deep pit. You still have awareness, and the energy levels are enormous. The bliss makes any physical feeling trivial. The closest approximation would be sex. It is like a glimpse of a larger unity with corresponding feeling. Every person has the potential to experience this unity. Unlike traditional Western theology, which in many cases tries to make it sound like Christ was the only Son of God, and when you die there is a judgment and you go to heaven or hell, the real point should be to attain a unity with Christ consciousness while living. That is the purpose of being here. Also, many others have attained this level of consciousness. And that's the end of the quote that I made notes of when I had that experience. And just today, actually, I was looking at some Bashar material. And Bashar also concurred with the concept that the one, by definition, creates something that it can identify as itself. This creates a polarity, and this is that inner polarity that I spoke of, the intent of the one to know itself. Now, I ask the listener to feel in their gut if my description rings true to them or the description by Hawking of no God. In point of fact, those that have experienced the levels described above can prove it psychologically to others who have had a similar experience. For example, if four people are at a table all claiming knowledge of the Creator and describe what they see, it's like four people saying they were at a site of a mine of gold. When each describes the site, only the ones that have been there know which ones have really been there, and the imposters are exposed. The great sages know the truth, as well as channeled extraterrestrial knowledge that has been communicated to the Earth in recent years. The Pleiadian call God Prime Creator, and the Esasani call it All That Is. It is now an established fact in quantum physics, and I refer the listeners to Quantum Physics and You at my blog site, that thought creates, and it is intention and desire that creates everything seen in the physical world. And similarly, it is the same forces that initially created the physical world from the mind of God. We are mirrors of God. God created us in his image, and many have experienced the fact that we have the ability to experience the whole from a personal point of view, collective point of view, or both simultaneously. Further, this behind-the-scenes energy created us with unconditional love. As Bashar says, there are only two objective facts. First, that we have consciousness, and second, that we were created with unconditional love. The proof of this is that God supports us 100% in our beliefs. He loves us so much that he or she will allow us to believe that we are not loved. When you open all of your chakras or vortex centers, then you will experience the truth, and it won't matter what others say or think, you'll know it as the truth. Science is approaching realization of the extraterrestrial concept of prime radiant, which means that everything in the known universe is actually the expression of one thing. That one thing is prime creator. For practical purposes, you can call it one particle. Of course, the single unit is consciousness, energy, and fluctuates between a wave and a particle. It travels at infinite speed, so it's in all places at once. It's massless and thus breaks no laws of physics. It demonstrates the oneness of all things and clearly demonstrates that everything is the expression of one thing. It is interesting that this concept is coming from Bashar, not from mainstream science. And when I spoke of this a few years ago in ET Yoga, it could not be found on a Google search. And the Andromedans have told Alex Collier that all creation comes from the black holes, that intention is behind the creation of everything, and have explained that as the energy from the center of the galaxy is emitting a new sound and color frequency, it is also creating a space for the evolution of those who are not capable of making the ascension. The Pleiadians call the egg of creation the absolutum. The spiritual energy of the absolutum is called the creation. It does not exist in material form. It is intelligence that is called spirit. Thus, clearly, for those who have experienced the higher levels, the yogic adepts, and for those extraterrestrials that have studied creation for eons, there is a consensus. Even the ETs are constantly learning new things about prime creator from their testimony. Now, in addressing this concept of fear of first contact, I suggest that there will be those with fear of first contact. And because all events in the universe are inherently neutral, there will be those who will make this a negative experience for themselves. However, it can be the most wonderful experience ever, just like your take on 2012. It's the meaning you give to outer circumstances that creates the experience you have. There is no one take on any event. In fact, an event, like a coin, cannot exist without two sides. Archangel Michael, as well as the Pleiadians, have actually warned against a false flag alien attack, and according to Bashar, this will not happen in our lifetime. It was, however, a card that could have been played by the powers that be. Obviously, reflecting a negative experience and creating fear of extraterrestrials. No wonder, as when we do have a first contact scenario with positive extraterrestrials, it'll be the end of all the sham concerning our extraterrestrial heritage, our true history, and an enormous leap in consciousness, as well as human rights and liberties. In short, the game will be over for the powers that be, and truth will be our guidestone. I would also like to hear Mr. Hawking explain how any negative take on ETs could have a positive outcome, or proving that any fear is not illusion. If you're interested in reading about a human achieving self-realization, I suggest The Path of Self-Knowledge by Sri Ramana Maharshi. If you have had a real spiritual experience of these levels and you read this book, you will know that this book and his experiences were true. He was a ripe soul who only had to experience the higher levels to remain self-realized. It is also true that many of us realize concepts such as no God, and fear of ETs has no place in an intelligent discussion of this subject. As even in fundamental quantum physics, it has been proven that an object cannot and does not exist independent of its observer. Thus, who is the observer of the creation except the Creator? So those are my thoughts concerning the concept about no God behind the Big Bang. I thought it was interesting as well to maybe point out what the founders have said about this in a channeling through Sal Michel. And they state that the universe you find yourselves in began about 20 billion years ago as a point of light within the mind of God. This point of light was centered within a greater point of light, which was contained within a greater point of light, etc., into infinity. There is an aspect of the Godhead that has always existed and that expands and contracts an infinite number of times. All of life is continually expanding and contracting, much like that device you look through with the colored glass called the kaleidoscope. According to the Andromedans, they traced their history, and this ancient race called the Founders, who, with the Andromedans and the Pleiadians, believe they're an ancient race that's also called the Patal. And interesting to note that they are doing amazing things with respect to making planets and stars and solar systems suitable and habitable for organisms and for life, rendering ecosystems that are fitted with hydrogen, oxygen, methane, and ammonium. And when the Patal left third density, according to the archaeological record, other life forms, sentient life forms, reptilian, human, plasmic, methane life forms, all began to appear and do appear in our galaxy in full form. That means that they came from someplace else, or they were brought from someplace else. That there was no millions and millions of years of evolution into this. And this is the same problem that our archaeologists have on the planet Earth. They keep espousing evolution, but there's just no proof of evolution in the geological, archaeological record. And the Andromedans do say that there is a creation and a creator. And they, in their traditions, say that it does not carry a dominant male frequency. In their opinion, it carries a dominant female frequency, or the creator is a goddess. According to the Pleiadians, and I quote, "We rarely use the term God with a big G. If we were to use that term, we would be referring to the entity we know as Prime Creator." Prime Creator, in its own personal implosion through love, endowed all things with consciousness. All things are Prime Creator on Prime Creator's journey. We see ourselves as extensions of Prime Creator, always gathering information, going off on adventures, and doing whatever we need to do to make our lives more interesting and challenging so that we can feed Prime Creator. As we feed Prime Creator through our own schemes and our own endeavors, we endow Prime Creator with greater energy to give new creations. Direct quote from Pleiadians. And interesting quote as well from Bashar, who basically states that the universe is infinitely complex, but not complicated. There is only one here, and there's only one now. And only one thing occupies that here and now. So that one thing has to be everything there is to be. And that directly relates to his concept of prime radiant. And for a demonstration or a concept about that, you can think of sitting in a dark room and having somebody light up a round light bulb, let's say. And let's consider that to be the prime radiant or the initial wave particle. And then in another side of the room, have someone light up a second bulb and then turn off the first one. And it will appear that the energy now has moved to the second bulb. And then you turn off the second one and go back to the first one. Now, if you keep turning those off and on fast enough, you'll reach a speed where it will appear that both lights are on at the same time. And this is the concept of prime radiant, because if that particle has the ability of infinite speed, it could be in all places at once and thus everywhere at once. And this gives rise to the Esasani belief that everything is one thing and that there's only one now, and that one now is seen from different perspectives. In fact, even of recent note, Bashar recently has stated that actually the word reincarnation is kind of an outmoded concept now, because it's more accurate to state that we're having simultaneous incarnations. Of course, in 3D, we still have the concept of linear time, but from higher levels of consciousness, the more accurate description would be that all these lifetimes are also occurring simultaneously, a hard one for us to grasp, I appreciate. Now, also, this being ET yoga, thought it might be interesting to give the yogic perspective as well. And Ramana Maharshi has stated that regarding this idea about samadhi, he said that holding on to the supreme state is samadhi. And when it is with effort due to mental disturbances, it is samprajnata. But when these disturbances are absent, it is nirvikalpa. Remaining permanently in the primal state without effort is sahaj. And thus the term Sahaj Samadhi. And Dr. Luther has stated, and I concur, that one thing is for sure, Samadhi, or the stages of Samadhi, cannot be understood without direct experience. But it is not impossible to understand it. If it was a state that is beyond understanding, sages such as Shankaracharya or Ramana Maharshi would not be able to speak of it. Such is not the case. People who speak about nirvikalpa samadhi without actually experiencing it can only speculate about its nature. And because such people are confused about nirvikalpa samadhi, their statements create confusion for others. And I would totally concur with that perspective. And another interesting aspect of Earth history would be from the ancient Indian Vedas, which are the oldest written texts on our planet today. And they date back to the beginning of Indian civilization and are the earliest literary records of the whole Aryan race. And they are supposed to have been passed down through oral tradition now for over 100,000 years, and they came to us in the written form about 4,000 to 6,000 years ago. And the scientific system of yoga was derived from this knowledge, and encompasses a system comprising breath, the entire neural system, and mastery, resulting in self-realization. And clearly the king of spirituality on this planet has been India, even though the masses of the population there seemingly have lost some of its essential teaching. Now, it is rumored also that the holographic history of Earth has been found in Buzej, Romania, as well as the second Stargate. And the books Transylvania Sunrise and Transylvania Moonrise are out there now, and they indicate that this history, it's a holographic history that goes back about 50,000 years, and it has been hinted that much of our myths or legends actually turn out to be true, but much of recorded history is actually not so true. And there's been also been another find under the Sphinx called the the Hall of Records, according to Bashar. And he says that these are in the process of actually being uncovered underneath the Sphinx. So we've got a number of interesting archaeological finds. Now, whether or not or when those will make their way to public view will be an interesting one. By the way, with respect to that Buzej find, I happened to be in Brasov, Romania, when the reports of that find first became public there. And then eventually the television program was given direction to cease and desist information about that. However, while there, I also went to Buzej and went up to the Sphinx there and, of course, didn't get access to anything else because that would be, you know, restricted areas. However, I did make a note of some other findings in Romania that even most Romanians aren't aware of. And that is what's called the Tataria tablets. And there are three tablets discovered in 1961 by archaeologist Nicolae Vlasa at a Neolithic site in the village of Tataria in Romania. And the tablets date to around 5,300 BC and bear incised symbols and the Vinca symbols are what they're called. And some claim that the symbols represent the earliest known form of writing in the world. And if the symbols are indeed a form of writing, then the writing in the Danubian would far predate the earliest Sumerian cuneiform script or Egyptian hieroglyphics, and they would thus be the world's earliest known form of writing. And if you've been a listener of ET Yoga, you would know that we've talked about our origins going way back to the Lyra and Vega star systems and Earth experience from Lemuria and Atlantis and so, you know, I'm not implying that this is really the, you know, earliest language because, I mean, we're talking about history on this planet that goes back so far that it's just absolutely mind-boggling. And in fact, I am personally a believer that the Lemurian was likely a fifth-dimensional existence and Atlantis a fourth-dimensional and that we've actually been shifting down into our current 3D reality. So, but I am pointing out that with respect to archaeological finds, clearly there's lots of inconsistent evidence popping up all over the place now with respect to dates and times and what civilization was where and who came from whom. So it's going to be quite a fascinating a trip we're on. And incidentally, in 2003, archaeologists in Iraq believe that they found the lost tomb of King Gilgamesh, who was the subject of the oldest book in history, the Epic of Gilgamesh, and that was written by a Middle Eastern scholar about 2,500 years before Christ. And the gods who appear in the Epic of Gilgamesh were clearly the Anunnaki. And, yeah, in fact, speaking of Anunnaki, when I was visiting in Romania and in Buzege, and there's these two pieces of architecture there called Babele, that are kind of like twin towers of sort, but they're stone forms. I don't know, the first impression I got about those, that maybe those were stools for the giants. And clearly there's been skeletal evidence of giants found in the Buzege area and around Romania, and no doubt the giants were the Anunnaki. So with respect to Earth history, we certainly got lots to learn about the real Earth history. That's 100% certain. Now, there's a couple of things I do want to mention tonight because of making clear about certain aspects of things on my website. Now, my website's at www.etyoga.com. And if you do look at the website, you'll see at the bottom that it does mention about that if you're in a position of hardship, you can contact me and we can work out something with respect to the materials. And I wanted to make it clear on my radio show that if there are people out there of hardship that really cannot afford a specific item that's at my website, that I will provide those materials for free. And not having the technical expertise to know exactly all the technical aspects of sending the articles or information, the way it typically works is that people pay for items through PayPal. And although I don't know how my website works, I know this much, that if a person of hardship purchases an item through PayPal and they email me and describe their situation, I will PayPal them back their money. So in effect, they will get the item at no cost. And I wanted to make that clear just because in my own life experiences, I've noticed certain places where people expect fees, or they call them donations. And I wanted to clarify on my site that I don't want there to be any issue about people and having a hardship and having a problem with purchasing from my website, or feeling that they can't afford that information. The whole idea of the of ET Yoga and my website is to share the very best of information that I've experienced over a lifetime. And a lot of this information, of course, we talked, as I brought out on the show tonight, stem from early experiences in higher consciousness, and clearly the amazing information that's come from the great yogic masters clearly was sufficient for many people to achieve samadhi. And what I found sometime, I guess probably starting in the early 1980s, was that there was a lot of information that was channeled through extraterrestrials that was valid and provable with respect to practical implications. And I find this is the greatest contribution that the ETs made to the collective consciousness on the planet. And that is providing us with a lot of practical information that we can use on a daily basis. And a lot of that centered around beliefs and how we deal with beliefs. And even in quantum physics now, they have come up with their latest models of the universe. And I think they're fairly accurate when they talk about a holographic universe that operates much the same as a virtual reality computer program, and that the computer program operates with the energy of consciousness, and that in point of fact, every computer program has a language of recognition, and the language of recognition in the universe is belief. In simplified terms, that means is what you believe is. And in point point of fact, no, you can't have an experience that you're not a frequency match for. So if you're experiencing it, that means that you have a belief that matches it, that you are a frequency match for that experience. And I think that that's clearly now, it's about as close to provable as provable gets. Now, with respect to items at my website that many people might be interested in having or seeing, clearly there are some articles there. My original e-books basically took thousands and thousands of hours to develop. There's lots of information there that is new. It's been new for a long time. I do have my new book there. It's called ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. It's not like the format of regular books. It's basically about 65 different articles, 65 different topics. There's lots of information at the site as well about miraculous cures. There are articles with respect to techniques. Everything from regular meditation with mantras and yantras to a complete set of explanations of breathing or pranayamas as taught by Swami Satchidananda. And as well, there are archived ET Yoga shows available, as well as the XYZ, which is always played at the end of the current ET Yoga series. So I invite everyone to take a look at the website. It was set up as a one-stop shop for self-empowerment and healing. In fact, it's actually called Healing the Known and the Unknown. And some of the material there would lead one to be able to distance themselves from mainstream medical. And as usual, I'd like to wish everyone my sincere best toward their attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And now I guess we can have the XYZ.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably, or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond. Going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity, and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now, out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, begins to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down. Clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is, and as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse, you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.